So, we're not starting Isaiah this morning. I know. And I'm going to share, there's some notes that I have that I've took an old sermon and wrote a couple of more points. And through the circumstances of this week, I was reminded as Rodney was sharing about prayer, just the necessity of us praying for our family and our friends, and our people that we run across, and the importance of us just being on our face before God for the people God brings into our lives. And I've shared this with y'all before, not like this, but I just felt impressed by God to share it with you again. And then, you know, next week, well, let me say this before I get into that. Everyone, I want you to look around this room. Now, I know a lot of you guys, and I'm involved in most everybody's life in this room. And we have some hard things going on. There, if I was at liberty to share, and us, there's brokenness and broken hearts all over. Family that we're suffering for and hurting for. Friends, things that are heavy, heavy on our hearts that keep us up at night. Or wake us up at night. The midnight cries that we get up, and the only thing we can do is read Scripture and pray, because there is no relief. Y'all know, right? You understand this. And so as this week unfolded, I kept thinking about this. And I thought, I'm going to share this. And then I thought, well, next week is the Sunday we come back from Ligonier, and Steve's going to be tired also, and Philip's going to be tired, and I'm going to be tired. We're all going to be tired, but it's a great conference. Y'all know that. We do this every year, and I'm probably going to want to share some things with you guys that we learned. And then the following week is Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday. And I thought, well, Isaiah is just going to have to wait. So without excuses and what I believe truly is the prompting of the Lord, I want to share a verse that I've shared with you before, but I've added a couple of points. Oddly enough, when Rodney got up and said Ephesians, I thought, Lord, if he pulls this verse out, I'm going to know it's from you. But Ephesians chapter 6, one verse that I want to share with you, verse 18. Leo asked me today, because Leo in video, and he types in the points along with the message, and he said, so normally I've been copying my messages and giving it, leaving it for him, and he said, did you not copy your message? I said, no, because I hand wrote it and you couldn't read it if you wanted to read it. Which my wife was standing right there, and she was like, yeah, that's true. Because she types up my sermons and she'll say, what's this word? And I look at it, and we're both looking at it, and we're going, I have no idea what that word is. That's bad. So, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, let's pray. Lord, we come to you likened to the Apostle Peter, because there's nowhere else for us to go. With heavy hearts, struggles in this life, Lord, we come this morning, our prayer is very, very simple. Please, God, do not leave us to ourselves. We just want to hear from you. Not a man, not any person. We want to see you. We want to hear you. We need you, Lord. Thank you for your word, your spirit that you have gifted and given to us. We confess openly, Lord, we're wretches and we are sinners. And Lord, we desperately need you. We're yours. Like Rodney was saying, we're yours. We're your children. But Lord, we're not good children. But we're your children and you love us and you have richly poured your grace and mercy upon us and we're yours. We're yours. Thank you, Lord. Because if it was on us to hold your hand, we would faint and fail all the time. But it's you holding us. You picking us up. You carrying us, you holding on to us, you not letting our grip slip when we are holding on to you. It's you, Lord. And we confess it openly and freely. We desperately need you. Thank you. So, Lord, as this morning, as we share and look at this one verse that's so simple, you do your work in our lives. Give us repentance where we need areas in our lives to repent, and in the area of our life that we just need some encouragement. Do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 6:18. Very simple, very straightforward. We'll be out of here in about 55 minutes. That was a joke. This is what it says. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, just so you know, because I know some of you have the ESV and it's broken up into a couple of sentences, but just for so you know that in the Greek, when you look at this, and they don't have periods and commas in the Greek language. Did y'all know that? And so when Paul wrote this one verse that we're going to look at, the sentence or the paragraph, if you want to say, with no periods, okay? So it's not like a paragraph that you learned in English. So let's just say the one sentence starts at verse 10 and goes all the way through verse 20. Okay? But that's proper Greek. Okay? What we have now and what you have is an English translation. And so that we can read it and understand it, of course we have periods and commas and other punctuation. So this verse, and they didn't break it up in verses either. Did you know that? That was for us. People much wiser than myself and you guys years ago when they were translating the scripture for us, for God's people, they put verses and chapters in there so that we can study and memorize scripture. It's for us. It's a tool for you and I. So when I say verse 18, you need to know this is just a fragment of really a much greater context, okay? So in verse 18, I want you to know I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 5 points. 5 points to share with you. And I'm going to say this. We need to learn to be prayer warriors. We need to learn how to wear out our knees. We need to learn to stand in the gap for our family and friends. We need to learn to call God and cry out to Him and also be patient and wait for the Lord. Wait for Him. And so in these 5 points, I hope this will help you. All right? The first one is this. With all prayer and petition. He starts out, do this with all prayer and supplication, or petitioning the Lord. Comprehensively do this. All prayer, meaning all kinds of prayer, all types of prayer. Do this there's not a certain method of prayer, and you may have a prayer list. I hope you do. I hope everybody does. We all need a prayer list, and not just a prayer list in your head, because you won't remember everybody. In whatever method or however you do it, I personally use index cards because that's how my brain works. And when y'all come up to me and say, Brandon, can you pray about this? And you should see my index cards. I have scribble marks all over it because I just add things. And some things I take off. Hey, Brandon, can you pray with this? Pray for this. And so I'll just add it to my little card. And I have corners used, and that's just how my brain works. So each of you in this room has a card. Did y'all know that? And I pray for each of y'all. Each of you. Not even collective families, but each of you one by one. So it says all types of prayers, all kinds and manners. So when you're making these petitions, be specific. That's another thing. As I do it with these cards, I'm specific. And you know, it's amazing how when I use cards, how it does stick up here. I don't have to carry my cards around with me all the time. I used to, but I don't anymore. I can look at them in the morning and go through them and just refresh my memory. And then all during the day, it is amazing how the Lord will bring somebody to my heart and mind. And some of you have gotten texts and calls from me saying, hey, the Lord was laying you on my heart today. What's going on with this? What's going on? And that's why. It's not because I remember. It's not because I remember so well, because I don't. It's because there's a method to it. It's comprehensive. There's a way of doing this and bringing petitions. It's types of prayer. You know, there's adoration. There's times for us to pray in adoration. There's submission where we lay before the Lord and submit to Him. There's supplications where we ask the Lord. We just flat ask Him about things. Confession, which y'all know that, right? That you confess to the Lord. make profession, confession to Him. So, do your prayers have this kind of breath? This kind of work? Is it with all types of going through adoration? There's some of yours. I'm praising the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for this. And there are times, honestly, and for me too, and for my children, for my wife. So it's not just you guys that I'm praying. God, they think they're submissive in this area. You bring them to submission in this area. So we go through all these types of prayers comprehensively. Number two, pray at all times is what the Word says. So the second point is this. The first point, with all prayers and petitions, the second point is this. Pray at all times. Pray at all times. Faithfully, dependably, perpetually. So what does this mean? What does Paul mean when he's saying pray at all times? Does it mean for us to always be with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and our head and on our knees praying all the time? Is that what he means by praying perpetually or at all times? No, that's not what he means. But what it does mean is having a spirit of prayer all the time. Yes, you do need to have that prayer time, but you need to have a spirit of prayer at all times. So how does this work? How does having a spirit of prayer for all times, how does this work? Well, it means when you're at work, always look for the Lord. When you're working around the house, when you're walking, driving, I'll never ever forget us driving to the airport, going to Orlando for the Peru team, and going through one of those infernal sun pass gates that you have to pay money, toll, to drive on a road. That's communism. I mean, and us going and stop, and you know, they have 5 lanes or 10 lanes that everybody stops and pays money. And which if you don't stop, you can run it, but they'll send you a ticket and you have to pay it anyway. So, but us stopping and Beth going, I mean, you remember Miss Jessie, Beth going, why are you in this lane? And you know, the truth was I was driving and just, because I knew what was ahead, and I was just constantly asking the Lord, Lord, help us with this, and help us get to this point and this point. And I was thinking about the team and what we had to do. And I was like, well, I don't know, Beth. And it wasn't a mile down the road. And I remember looking over and seeing this PT Cruiser that was just a couple of cars in the next lane to us and a couple of cars up. And I just was kind of praying and meditating and asking the Lord. And I was like, I don't know why I got into the longest lane of cars a mile down the road. I mean, like a 12-car accident, massive accident. And we were all sitting there going, well, that's why. But praying just all the time, walking around, doing your job, asking the Lord to help. This morning, y'all don't know, well, you may have noticed I got up and down, up and down. I was in a panic because I couldn't find my sermon notes. I was like, where did I where are they? And I was sitting there going, Lord, You got to help me find the sermon notes. Because I can't even read my own scribble. Constantly praying, constantly seeing. But you've got to understand your need to be able to have a spirit of prayer. Does that make sense? Are you needy? Do you need the Lord? I mean, really, do you need the Lord? Because if you really are needy, you can foster this spirit of prayer. Amen? So praying at all times means having this constant communication with the Lord all day, daily, minute, as you are awake, when you're even asleep. Lord, help me. Praying constantly, living with an attitude of prayer. Understanding, as John Stott used to say, that we live in two worlds. You, as a saint, you live in two separate worlds. But we forget that, don't we? I mean, let's be honest. Let's confess our sin. We forget that we are living in two worlds. You know why? Because we get too wrapped up in one world. Right? Amen? I mean, y'all need to all agree with me on this. But understanding that we're in two worlds. And guess what? It's through prayer that these two worlds come together for you and I. It's in a constant state of prayer. Point number three. In the Spirit. With all prayer and petition, number one. Praying at all times, number two. And in the Spirit, number three. You are a child of God if you are redeemed. If you've been born again, you're God's child. And as God's child, He has given you His Spirit. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if we really understand this, but He has given you the Spirit of God. The same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, that raised our Lord Jesus from the grave. Listen, the same Spirit that spoke and created the universes and holds it together, He's given you the Holy Spirit. You have that. If you are a child of God, if you're His child, you have the Holy Spirit. So when He says, with all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit. Now, we need to ask this question. Why would He not listen to His children? Why would God not listen to you? What is a reason that God would not? This is an open book test. What now? What's the question? Our sin. You can hinder the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Craig, you going to take that cute baby away? Pray for who? Yeah, no, that child doesn't need spankings. You don't give that child spankings. That was a joke, Rick. Don't disqualify him from leadership. He was just joking. Everybody's like, well, I'm not voting for him. All right. Sin hinders our relationship. Y'all know this. It grieves the Spirit. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't leave us to ourselves. You're His child. And He will, the Holy Spirit will do whatever He needs to do to bring you back into right relationship with the Lord. But when we ask, when we're walking and we're disobeying the Lord, and he brings correction into our lives. And so when we talk about in the Spirit, it's us being able to say, am I praying rightly? Am I praying according to Scripture? Am I asking for the right things? And am I pursuing a life of holiness? Am I pursuing Jesus in my life? There are things that hinder us, but it should never stop us. Amen? Because you're a child. You're the Lord's child. It should never stop you. But yes, we can hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Absolutely. We'll never hinder His work. He is faithful to complete that is in us until the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to do His work in your life, and He's going to do His work in this world. He's not going to get to the end, and He's going to check off everything that was on His list. And listen, when He checks it off, it's completely done. Amen? It's not like a contractor building a house and check it. Yeah, I've done this. And you walk around the house and go, well, he didn't put this baseboard on. Those of y'all who have built houses, y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. No, when the Lord checks it off, baseboard's done. It's completely done. There's nothing left. There's not even a crack on the bottom of the floor where the flooring meets the baseboard. It's done perfectly. Amen? And so when he gets to the end of time and all the list is checked off, it's completely done 100%. So what does this mean? What does the congruency, the theory or the theological word congruency of us working with the Lord and the Lord being sovereign and working on us? It means how much is sin going to hinder your life? How many times is he going to have to take you to the woodshed? How many times is he going to have to correct you? Or are you going to submit and walk in the Spirit and follow him? And you got to know the word. This is part of walking in the Spirit. You got to know what to ask for and how to ask it. So in the Spirit, asking confidently and assured that you're asking the right thing because you know the Word of God to ask. Number four. There's a little phrase. It's actually one word in the Greek. But we write it out in our translations as being alert. So number four is being alert. Being circumspect. Being careful and vigilant and watchful and attentive. Understanding what's going on around you. Pray with open eyes, seeing what is truth and what is not. I always say this, and I'm really not picking on grandmothers. Please don't misunderstand. But if your grandmother can't love you, you're hard to love. You hear me? So when I say be alert, I'm saying it like this. We need to understand to not pray with grandma glasses on. Meaning where we're not seeing what is really happening around us. We're not evaluating the truth of the matter. that we pray with open eyes, figuratively open eyes, that we see and we're looking at the reality of what's happening, and we pray towards that end, that we're not sticking our head into the sand. Amen? That we're looking at what's happening. Like Rick was just jokingly saying that she's a good baby. That we don't just turn everything aside. That we understand what is happening, and we don't just hide the facts and the realities. That we're praying towards those ends. That our families are constantly being confronted with the truth. Because I can promise you this, and you guys should know this very well. Our family and friends are going to be constantly confronted with sin and evil. But hear me. Our loved ones that we're praying for, they are constantly going to be battered by the devil and this world and themselves. Don't add to the confusion. And especially in your prayer life. Who do you think you're fooling? God? Lord, they're a good boy. And just do this. And I mean, Lord, they deserve it. Look, please never pray that. Please. No, really. Really. Please don't ever pray. Lord, they just need a break. They really deserve. Don't pray that. The Lord may yep, they deserve it. Here, I'm going to add more to their little red wagon. Listen to me. Pray with open eyes. Be circumspect. See the truth. Go to God. Like Rodney was saying this week, we were talking about the little pamphlet, praying. What's it called? Effective Prayer by Charles Spurgeon. Don't leave home or don't leave the church if you don't have it. Pick it up today from the table. It is great. And one of his points in that is arrange your... He calls it an argument, but it's not a bad argument. This is not a negative argument. He's saying arrange your thoughts, your petitions to take to the Lord. Now, if you sit there and you go, well, they deserve it, and there's a... Do you think that's effective prayer? But say, Lord, you know what is right. You know what they need. I don't. Lord, you understand this situation way better than me. You get what's going on. Lord, you do whatever it takes for you to get all the glory. That's effective prayer. Lord, do whatever it takes. I remember years ago, and I'm not going to say any names, but I remember Kim and I, there's a family member that she had that we were praying for. And Kim said, I mean, this is a long time ago, and Kim said, it's hard to pray. God, you do whatever it takes. That's a hard prayer. Whatever it takes. Lord, you do what brings you the most glory. You do whatever it takes in their lives. Lord, you do it. And let's do it open eyes. Let's not lose and get caught up in our emotions and be blinded and ask for things which they all kind of go together. That's unbiblical and not right. Pray for them. And lastly, fifth point, with all perseverance, abiding, steady at it. Basically, don't give up. Don't stop praying. Like Rodney said it this morning. There's people in our lives that we do pray for, but there's some folks in our lives we aren't praying nearly enough for whatever reasons. We forget, we're not organized in our thought and in our prayer lives. And y'all can change all of that. Your organization of prayer, today you can change all that. I'm telling you right now, and some of you, when I text you and call you, it's because the Lord brings it to my mind. It's not because I'm so tender-hearted. I wish that was the case. It's not anything good about Brandon. It's the Lord doing it. It's the Lord interceding on y'all's behalf. It's not because I'm good. Does that make sense? It's not because Rodney's good. It's because he's reminding and when I flip through those cards, it's like a picture. And I can just go quickly through the cards. And things will pop up and remind me all the time. And I want you to know that I have sections. Y'all don't have to do it my way. Please, matter of fact, please don't do it my way. Do it better. But this is how I do it. I have color-coded index cards that I put... All of y'all are in a category. Now, I'm not going to tell you what category you're in, but there's pink ones and green ones and blue ones and red ones, and I put all of you guys in a separate category. Jason is in a category all by himself. No. But I put all of you in categories, and that way I can take one section of that card, of my index cards, per day. And I go through that set. Now, I will talk. You can call me and ask me any question. We can talk. But y'all do it how you work. God, you do it. You personalize it to yourself and how your brain works and how you do it and what's best for you and how you organize your thoughts. You, as Spurgeon says, you arrange your thoughts. You get it together so that you can take these prayers to the Lord. Amen? And you can do this. You would be amazed all of your family, all of your friends, everybody in the church, and y'all can do it easily. Sad, but I'm going to say this. We don't want to do it. Two questions and we're going to close. The first question is this. Do you believe that God answers prayers? Do you really believe that? Second question. Then you only believe it as much as you participate in it. Now let me explain what I just said. You can sit here and say, I believe it. But when you look at your prayer life, it's very small. That means you really don't believe it. You believe it as much as you participate in it. Does everybody understand that point? I love you guys. And I can tell you, I'm going to just add this because y'all owe me 11 minutes right now. I'll get it back, okay? No worries. But I was in a meeting this week with a bunch of pastors, and they were talking about all the stuff going on and all, you know, everything. And churches are hurting all over. They were talking about, well, if we did this or if we did that. And I was just sitting there, and I didn't say anything. I did not say a word. And I left the meeting. I was driving down the road, and I was thinking about some of the stuff that came up this week. And I was thinking, you know, what we need is pastors telling the flock the truth and calling people to repentance. And all this other stuff stirring up and trying to get, you know, how do we get people back in the seats, and how do we do that? Let God do that. Sheep like sheep food. Give them the word. Let God be God in our lives. Amen? And all I kept thinking about is what we need is some Holy Spirit preaching. Biblical preaching. Because listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't contradict the Word of God. Are you following me? And let God call people into His kingdom. And if He doesn't, that's His business. Right? But prayer is a key. We need to learn to be about the business on our knees. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth. We pray, Lord, that You would convict us and You would help us. You would help us to be a praying church. A family that gets after it quietly in our prayer closets and on our knees, and as we walk in during the day, and as we're at work, and as we're, Lord, that we are constantly petitioning You, continuously not leaving You alone. Help us, Lord. I thank You for this morning. I thank You for the privilege of being here. Lord, You do a work that honors You the most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.